All right, let's ask God's blessing on our study here today. Father, we bow before you. We thank you for the opportunity to get together again and to learn from your word. And this is a very important lesson we're going to go through today. And we pray that you would open our minds to grasp it fully. We thank you for the meal that we're going to partake of. And we thank you for my wife who always does these great meals for us. We pray that your inspiration will be here and that your spirit will guide our minds, because sometimes we hear things and we think we understand them and we think we know them and we go away and we don't understand what we've heard. So let these things sink in deeply and let us appreciate the goodness that we have in your word and in your promises, and that we can see the fallacy and the evil that is being promoted by the church today. So we ask your blessing here, and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I received, you know, 187. I have no idea how many over the last years people telling me, well, Ray, you don't think there's a hell. Okay, you need to read this 23 minutes of them. You really need to read this. This will prove it to you. Once you read this, Ray, you would be no doubt in your mind anymore that there's a hell and it's real and it's... you need to read this. Please, please, Ray. I beg you, please. Well, after so many of these over the years, I finally decided, all right, I'll read it. So I put 23 minutes in hell in my computer and did a search, and of course, I think there's like, I don't know, 6 million. It's unbelievable, but I mean, they don't all have to do with this article, but there's just so many of them. It's all over the internet. And so I copied one copy off, and I listened to one tape. One video of him giving his talk to a church. And then I copied this, and when I read, didn't seem to fit with what I heard on the video. And then, so I found out there's several videos, so I watched a couple more this past week, or 4 days, or however long I've been doing this. And then I watched some interviews of this Bill Weiss, on different shows, you know, Christian ministers and stuff who interviewed him about his 23 minutes in hell and so on and so forth. And I'll just say this. The man contradicts himself and lies all over the place. It's just disgusting. I mean, this is really disgusting junk. I cannot even conceive that anybody with normal intelligence and IQ would read this and believe it. Do you remember that section I did on the 7 Spanish kids who Christ gave a personal tour through hell? You know, and where this woman was in the mud, and then she had to go back down under the mud, and her sin was she liked to wear makeup, and she was too worldly. And then there was this place where they had shoes, and they had 6-inch spikes coming up inside the shoe, and they had to jump. They had to jump up and down. They had to dance and jump on these spikes coming up their feet, and all that. You know, and you know that thing is all over the internet. There are millions of people who saw that and believe it. Now, I just poked fun at it. You know, it's just a stupid spoof, you know. People take it seriously. Millions of people believe that junk. Well, anyway, here's 23 Minutes in Hell by Bill Weiss. He has this demon-looking thing on the front, you know, and he said he saw a thing where Ken Hagin... Oh, now there's a true biblical scholar for you. Hagin. Yeah, he's the one that hisses like snakes and just bizarre garbage. Anyway, but he said he saw the artist's rendition of a demon that Hagin had seen. This was years ago. He said, that is the demon I saw. That is the exact same demon. Now this guy, I don't know how old he is. He looks like he's in his 40s and he's got a lovely wife. And when you listen to him, you know, he just looks like such a nice guy. He seems very personable, you know. He seems like he'd be an honest guy. Guy, in my opinion, everything I say in this book, in my opinion, except where I show you the facts, the guy is a two-faced lying hypocrite. He can't keep his story straight. He's only got 23 minutes to report on. He's been rehearsing it in his mind since 1998. 10 years. Well, the videos I got were in 06, I guess. But anyway, for 8 years, he's been rehearsing these 23 minutes, and he can't keep it straight. He adds, he takes away, he contradicts himself over and over and over again. It's nonsense. All right. So anyway, he says he's going to answer in this thing, is hell a literal burning place? Where is hell? Do we have a body in hell? Are there degrees of punishment in hell? Are children in hell? In the beginning, before he actually speaks, there's a couple of quotations. It says, hell is probably much worse than depicted in this testimony by Bill Weiss. Now you think about that as we go through. Much worse. Much worse. Not just worse. 12,000 degrees inside the lake of fire. He never actually went in the lake of fire, but where he was, it was 300 degrees. You know, you can cook a turkey pretty fast with that. But in the real fire, 12,000 degrees. Okay? But this is what he says in depict. Hell is really much worse than that. Much worse than that. God's wrath for disobedience are infinite and eternal. He has a scripture on that. John 3:36. Let's read it. John 3:36. And he that believeth on the Son of Man has everlasting life, and he that believes on the Son of Man has not seen life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Excuse me, but does it say that the wrath of God abides on him eternally? It doesn't even have an aeon or aeonius there. But that's the scripture he gave us. Lying turkey. Ephesians 5:6. Punishments of God, no, God's wrath for disobedience are infinite. That means there is no end to the magnitude of the punishment. See? And eternal means, and there's no end. Okay? Now, let me say Ephesians. Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Where does that say that's infinite and eternal? You all got a Bible? Ephesians 5:6, read it. Deceitful people. Unbelievable. Anyway, the announcer in introducing Bill says, you're going to hear the vision of hell. You're going to hear the vision of hell. But even more important, you're going to hear a vision of intimacy with Jesus Christ and the love he has for the world. Bill was in hell. But he wasn't a casual observer, as so many people have been in legitimate visions. But he experienced the torments of hell for about a half an hour with absolutely no hope of ever escaping. Bill and his wife are deeply converted to Jesus Christ and to the work of God and so on and so forth. So Bill says, it's an honor to be here and so on. And he says, we don't do this for the money. What? We don't do this for the money? Let me see here.
It comes in handy.
Christianity Today. You know that's probably the most prestigious Christian magazine on the face of the earth. Sales of these books are boosted by the author's speaking engagements. Published March 7th of this year, 23 Minutes in Hell has sold 54,000 copies. That's a right when it was published. But according to Revell, publisher of 90 Minutes in Hell, the book, speaking of the book 23 Minutes in Hell, it released in September 04, and Revell estimated the first year's sale would be less than 10,000. Publicly, for the book, publicity for the book was limited to a half page in a Christian magazine. But according to the publicist, it since has taken off, and now more than 800,000 are in print. Okay, more than 500,000 sold in 2005. Well, we're up in 2008 now. Okay, so we've added 06, 07, 08, and we're at 800,000. How many millions of this copies of this piece of trash do you suppose have been sold by now? They sell it for real money. And it's like 102 pages, which hardly qualifies as a book. It's a brochure, you know. Okay. We don't do this for the money. He says, but first I want to address a couple of things. Some question in your mind, the first question comes to your mind after listening to me would be, how do you know it wasn't just a dream that you had? A bad dream. A couple of points to make. First of all, I had left my body. I saw my body when I returned lying on the floor. So I know for sure that it was an out-of-body experience. See, whatever you dream, you can tell for sure what's going on by what's in the dream, because you know that everything in a dream is literally true, don't you? I mean, you all know that, don't you? Everything you've ever dreamed is literally true. Have you ever dreamed that you could fly? How many have ever dreamed that you could fly? I have. Can we literally fly without an airplane? Can we? Well, but if you dreamed it, it's true. That's proof. Oh, my gosh. What? I don't even know what to think about people who write like this. I dreamed it, therefore it must be true. It was an out of, you know. Then he quotes Job 7:14. Thou scareth me with dreams and terrifies me with visions. So this is definitely what the Lord did. He terrified me through a vision. He said it was not a dream. He terrified me through a vision, you see. Well, the terrified and the scared in the Hebrew mean exactly the same thing. It means to make you afraid. They both mean exactly the same. But he said, yeah, but I like the one that says visions, see. It's nonsense. Every scripture he gives has nothing to do with what he's talking about. Absolutely nothing. And he has like 20, 30, 40 of them or whatever. They have nothing to do whatsoever. Okay. Then he asks his wife to come up. And because he says she only really understood what was taking place when he returned. So she's going to let us know, you know, that Bill was not making this up. So his wife says, it was about 2:23. Now you see that, 3:23, excuse me. Hence, the title of the paper, 23 Minutes in Hell. Notice it. When I woke up, it was 3:23 in the morning when I woke up. I just remember that because I looked at the digital clock. It said 3:23. What does that have to do with the title of this book that he and which is just stated over and over by millions of times that he was in hell for, what does that have to do with it? The fact that it was 3:23? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then I'll comment on that again. This, it was 3:23. And I noticed Bill was not next to me, and I heard screaming coming from our living room. I proceeded to go down the hallway. I found my husband in a way I'd never seen him before. If anyone gets to know Bill, he's a conservative man by nature, very calm and a professional man. He's just not the type to get excited, to get really emotional over anything, unless it's God at times. But anyway, I saw him there, traumatized. Pay attention to these words. Don't forget these words. How did she find him? Traumatized. Literally traumatized. Don't forget those words. We're coming back to that. We're going to come back to that. Maybe they think everybody only looks at one of his videos. I looked at as many as I could stand. And trust me, they all contradict. Traumatized, holding his skull. I guess that would be like his head. I lost my place. Hold on, I'm coming. Holding his skull, holding his head. Oh, okay, we demand to find skull is the head. Between his hands and crying out and screaming. He was in a fetal position lying on the floor. I didn't know what to do. I thought he was having a heart attack. I just started to pray, and he cried out and said, "Pray the Lord will take this out of my mind. The Lord took me to hell. I feel my body is dying. I can't handle this." Remember these words. We're coming back to them. So I proceeded to pray for him, and in about 10 minutes, he began to calm down. He was literally in a traumatized state, like someone who went to Vietnam and had a reoccurrence and all that. So I just wanted to testify to that. Now, on page 16, I'm getting ahead of myself, but on page 16, we read this. Right then, when he, Jesus, left, that's when all the fear, the torture, and the torment came back into my mind. This was when Christ had met him and then departed, okay? No, I think this was when he brought him back to his home out of hell. When Christ departed, then all this fear and trauma came back into his mind because it says in the Bible, 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. So I was next to perfect love all that time. So that left me. And when he left, all of a sudden, all the fear and horrors of hell entered my mind. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. I was screaming. I was in agony. I couldn't live with it. I knew that this body was not capable of withstanding that kind of fear. Now, this is after he's brought back and the Lord lives, right? You can't hold up under that kind of pressure. Your body isn't strong enough. So that's when I prayed and was able to pray, take it out of my mind. In the natural, you would have to go through all kinds of counseling to get through this kind of trauma. But God took it out instantly. Instantly took it out, the trauma. He left the memory, but he took the trauma and the fear out. Huh? And then his wife finds him, and what? Totally traumatized. Totally traumatized. She said it took him 10 minutes, she's probably, just to calm him down a little bit. The Lord took it all away, and there was no more trauma. Now that's a blatant contradiction, if not a lie. In video number one, this isn't on this one. I had to put some bits and pieces together from other one. She left an important part out here. In one of the videos, his wife said, after she calmed him down, you know, by praying over him, because he was so traumatized, but he said he wasn't traumatized because he prayed himself and God took it all away. Lying turkey. In video one, she said, after she calmed him down, she says, he ran to the kitchen and grabbed the glass of water. And everybody laughs in the video. Oh, it was so funny. He thought he was in hell. He had to have a glass of water. Did you catch that? He ran to the kitchen and grabbed the glass of water. But in another video, where his wife was up there giving the same account, she says, one of the first things, this is after she prayed for him and calmed him down, one of the first things he asked for was a glass of water. And I got that for him. And he calmed down and told me what happened to him. How stupid do these people think Christians are? Pretty stupid. I mean, they really do. And the fact of the matter is, they do believe it. I mean, they do believe it. This thing is all over the interstate, all over the internet, like you wouldn't believe. Do you see him? Now, this whole episode took only supposedly 23 minutes. So it was such a traumatizing. You kind of remember what this stuff was. And certainly, you don't tell it once and twice and three times, and then all of a sudden the story changes. The demons change, and the episodes change, and the chronological order changes, you know. And he wanted a glass of water, so I went and I got him a glass of water. No, he got up and ran to the kitchen and grabbed the glass of water. These are two different things. Now, how can you believe anybody who claims to be a Christian and is a blatant liar, in my estimation, from what I'm seeing here? Okay, got to cover myself because these Christians will sue you. Okay, so anyway, y'all caught that contradiction there, didn't you? He prayed to God. He took all the trauma away. His wife finds him, he's totally traumatized. And he wants a glass of water, so she goes, and I got him a glass of water. And she said, he got up and he ran to the kitchen and grabbed the glass of water. You say, oh, Ray, what's the difference? The difference is they know they're not telling the same story. They're making it up as they go. I'm so blessed to have a good woman, he says, and so on. I wanted to find out when got back from this. This is the way this whole thing is written. It's the most broken, juvenile, second grade grammar you have ever heard. I wanted to find out when got back from this experience, if there's anybody in the Bible who ever experienced hell. So I began to research. I listened to Chuck Misler a lot. He's a Bible teacher across the nation, a real scholar. Well, there's Happy's problem right there. You know, you listen to these people and you start to believe anything. And it says in Jonah, quote, in hell he cried out. Jonah 2:2. It's Sheol. The word is Sheol. It's not hell. It's Sheol. It's not the Christian hell. Back in the Old Testament Hebrew, there were no Christians. There was no Christian hell. This is Sheol, which is the state of the dead. Because Jonah felt like he was dead, dying and dead, like he was entering Sheol when he was inside this fish. And he says, the earth with her bars was about me, and so on. So at least there was somebody in the Bible who experienced hell. Jonah, well, there you have it. There's your scriptural proof. He said, I found over 400 scriptures that depicted everything I saw, heard, felt, and so on. Over 400. I can quote all 400, he says, even small. So, to get into it quickly, my wife and I were at Sunday prayer meeting, as we always attended with our pastor, and we went home like any normal people. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I was taken. I did not know how I got there until I returned. So the title of this book, and this article, and all these videos, is 23 Minutes in Hell. Now, where did that 23 minutes come from? Well, here he says, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he was taken. This is our first clue. When was he taken? 3 o'clock in the morning. And what time did his wife say she saw on the alarm clock when she woke up? 3:23. There's your 23 minutes. Oops. Oops. At another place, in another video, he says, they went to bed, they came home from the prayer meeting, went to bed at 11 p.m. And sometimes between 11 and 3, it happened. But then in another video, it says, it was sometime between midnight and 3 o'clock. But then in another video, it says, it was between 2 and 3 o'clock.
Picky.
Then the Lord explained. Then the Lord explained. I don't know how that fit in there. Okay. But I was just dropped into a prison cell, just like a regular prison cell, like you imagine, with rough stones and walls and bars in the door. I don't know where I was All I knew that I was extremely hot, terribly hot. Now, you read in the introduction where it says that he had been a Christian for 15 or 16 years or something, okay? Now, how is it in 15 or 16 years of belonging to these Pentecostal-type churches where they talk fire, hell, and brimstone, how is it he didn't know what hell was? How was it he's in this hot place and he doesn't know that they have a teaching about hell where it's hot and there's fire and demons? How is that? All I knew that it was extremely hot. I don't know where I was. It was hot. Couldn't believe I was alive. I felt like I should have disintegrated with the heat, but I was still alive. It was light in the room for a little while, and I believe the Lord's presence was there for me to see the scenery better. Scenery? He really does write like a third grader. Anyway, God, Christ wanted to let him see the scenery. But then it went dark again. And in Isaiah 24:22, he says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in prison." There it is. He got scriptural proof that that's how it is. Because there's a scripture on being in prison. And Proverbs, "They shall go down to hell in the chambers of death." By chambers, it means rooms. So the hell has prison cells, chambers, pits of fire, and big areas of fire. So I was just in a prison cell at this time. Here's two more scriptures. Just total out of context nonsense. "I find myself in the cell, and these four creatures were in the cell with me." But in the first, in almost all the other videos, he's two. It was only two. Later on, he said there was four, but it's only two. But here, how was it? It was four. Okay. "I didn't realize they were demons." Why not? I mean, if that's what your church has been teaching you all these years, if you didn't know they were demons, how is somebody never went to church and they go to hell supposed to know what's going on here? Excuse me, I'm burning out my throat. Or my vocal cords. Everything about these demons, they were twisted. They were deformed and twisted and out of proportion. Out of symmetry. No symmetry. Imagine that. They had no symmetry, you know. Imagine that. Demons with no symmetry. That's my comment on the end. That's not on there. They had no symmetry. And they were blaspheming God. The whole while they were cursing God. I wondered, why are they cursing God? Why are they hating God so much? In hell, your senses are keener. You are just aware of more than our physical bodies are. It's your physical body isn't aware of anything. It's your mind. Not your body. You know, my hand is not aware of what's going on today. It's my mind. I was aware of distance. I was aware of time and so forth. Much more than you are here. I knew these things were, these things, meaning these demons, were assigned to me to torture me forever in this place. And he shows a picture of this, I don't know what it is, this red, gnarly faced, ugly demon. I was aware that I had no strength. I was hopelessly lying there. One demon just grabbed me and picked me up and threw me into the wall like a glass. He just picked me up like a glass. That was how light I was and how strong he was. And he threw me into the wall and every bone in my body broke. And I felt pain. Well, duh, I would think so. I just began to lie on the floor there. I just began to lie there. I thought he threw you there. I just began to lie there. What is that? I mean, you know, if this were a third grader, he would get a low mark for really bad grammar. I just began to lie there. No, you didn't begin to lie there. You were thrown there with all your bones broken, crying out for mercy. But these creatures don't have any mercy at all. Absolutely no mercy. The one picked me up, and the other one, with his razor-sharp claws, he just shredded my flesh right off. He just tore it off and had absolutely no care whatsoever for this body that God so wonderfully made. The writing is so bizarre. I mean, interjects these thoughts at a time when it's like, what? In another version, I don't know why he left it out in this one, but in another version, in fact, the first version that I watched, a video of him, he said this demon grabbed him and ripped the flesh off of him. And then he said, but in 30 seconds, about 30 seconds, it grew back. And guess what? He ripped it off again. So every 30 seconds your flesh grows, and every 30 seconds he rips all the flesh off your body. But what did we read up front here? Let me check that again. What did we read up here? Hell is probably much worse than depicted in this testimony. Much worse. You have all your flesh torn off of your body every 30 seconds for all eternity. But real hell is much worse than that. I mean, what are we to say to something like this? If this were some piece of junk that some kid wrote, you know, just to be funny in, you know, for a creative writing class or something, this is believed by millions of people. People email me a link to this junk continually, nonstop. Ripped my flesh off. And the other one said, ripped it off. And he said, and I knew he would keep ripping it off for all eternity. It had a hatred that was so intense. I wondered, why am I alive, you know? I don't understand why I'm not dead. My flesh just hung there. There was no blood, just hanging, just flesh hanging, because life is in the blood, and there is no life in hell. Life, no. Back in Leviticus, that verse does not say the life is in the blood. It's the life is that the soul is in the blood, not life. But the Christian church will keep quoting that wrong, just like, you know, the strain at and that. You know, I mean, it'll never correct that in a million years. There's no life in hell. Okay, so what do you say? His body has no life in it. If it has no life in it, has no blood, he didn't bleed when he ripped the flesh off because the life is in the blood and there was no blood. So there is no life in hell. How is he alive then? What kind of dictionary nonsense is this? How did he feel pain if he wasn't alive? There's no life in hell. And he says, and there's no life in hell. And guess what? And there's no water in hell. It's like he's describing all this stuff, you know, and it's so ugly and horrendous and it's just so miserable and evil looking, and then he says, and it wasn't pretty to look at either. Or some dumb thing. I mean, this is just, you can't get dumber than this.
Think of the people that he's writing
to. Well, yeah, I mean, people believe it. They send it to me. Then he quotes the scripture to show, you know, how weak we are, you know, in Isaiah. And we know that the devil does have strength in the scriptures. There was a demon man running around and so on, and they came by the seaside and everything, and this man was very strong. So he says, And that was just a man with demonic strength. I understood that these demons have about 1,000 times the strength of a man. He said, demons run your life in hell. Oh, really? Over here in, let's see, I get ahead of myself sometimes just to show you the contradictions, because I'll come to this again anyway. Doesn't fall on it. But he gives the scripture there in Matthew 25 where it says, you know, hell was made for the devil and his angels. Okay. Excuse me, but if hell was made for the devil and his demons, how come the demons are torturing the hell out of these humans and ain't nobody doing anything bad to the demons? See, these people think that nobody's smart enough to think about things like that. All the while, it's these demons doing all these nasty things to humanity. I thought he just read a scripture. This whole place was made for the demons. Who's torturing the demons? How did they get that all screwed up and backwards? Now the demons are having all the fun torturing humanity. But he says it was made for the demons. He never intended for humans to go there. Demons were supposed to be tortured there for all eternity. Then why aren't they being tortured? Why are they having all the fun torturing human beings? Does anybody ever ask these questions in an Orthodox church? No, never. Would never enter their mind to ask something as simple or logical as that. There is no logic in the Orthodox religion. It's all nonsense, unscriptural nonsense, all of it. Well, you believe Christ died for your sins, don't you? Yes, of course I do. You don't. You Orthodox Christians don't believe it. You think when he was supposed to die for our sins, he was in hell. It's what they all teach in the Orthodox Church. Yeah, I believe Christ died for our sins. They don't. The Christian Church doesn't. They think the Savior of the world is a cadaver. And boy, do they hate me for talking like this. Ask me if I care. The smell of these demons and the smell of hell is so atrocious. He said it was so bad, he thought it should kill him, but it didn't. It didn't. And he talks about the profanity. You know, talking with all this evil profanity. They were cursing God. And this is mentioned in Ezekiel 22:26, he says. Ezekiel 22:26 says, I was profaned among them. Then he puts the scripture here. I can't believe he did, but he did. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. And they have not distinguished themselves and so on and so forth. And he says, and I am profaned among them. Okay? Now, who is he talking about here? Is he talking about devils and demons and wicked people in hell profaned? Is that what the context of Ezekiel 22 is? No. The context of Ezekiel 22 is the abominations of the Jews in Jerusalem. And you know what these Orthodox Christians have to say about how we should think about the Jews in Jerusalem. Regardless of what the rest of the book of Ezekiel has to say about Jerusalem and what a pitiful, disgusting place it was. And will be. Up until one. When? How long is Jerusalem going to be this rotten stench in God's nostrils? How long? When will it change? Well, partly right, yes. But Ezekiel says, when Sodom is restored, when Sodom is restored, he likens Ezekiel to Jews in Jerusalem being worse than Sodom. That's who it's talking about in Ezekiel 22. Not demons and people in hell. I mean, it's right there. Her priests have violated my law. The first words of the sentence. Who's this talking about? The priests, the Jewish priests in Jerusalem, not the demons in hell. Who profaned him? The Jewish priests in Jerusalem, not the demons in hell. Deceitful people. What a crock. What a crock this is. People just, like, this is such a wonderful revelation. This is evil, filth. Then he goes on to say, that was what they did to the Jewish people. That was in the natural. But where did they get the idea from? And he talks about how the Jews are mistreated. Where did they get the idea how to mistreat Jews? From hell. From hell. There's what the demons do. And the mercy? There's only mercy in heaven. The devils have no knowledge of any kind of mercy.